Hoseas was a close brother in Christ to the apostles who gave him the name Barnabas. This is Acts 4:36-37. Let's notice. And Hoseas, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. In the American Standard, son of exhortation. Now notice, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So we see the name Barnabas means son of comfort or encouragement. And we all need encouragement, do we not? And isn't it wonderful to have Barnabases in our congregations of the Lord's church? Well, Barnabas belonged to the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe, and was from Cyprus, as we saw there, an island in the Mediterranean Sea. And we see that he was a landowner. Something else to mention here in our introduction. Barnabas, like Paul, was without a wife. 1 Corinthians 9:3-6. My answer to them that do examine me is this: have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Well, this morning we want to do a study of Barnabas, and hopefully we will all be encouraged by this study and be able to better encourage others. And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. Yes, sir, the initials PFE helps us to keep that in mind every day. That's right. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we come together in our Bible classes. Well, of course, we're going to study the precious Word of God. And then as we come together to worship God in the assembly, we're striving to do so in accordance to the New Testament pattern, that would be in truth, but also with a proper attitude. That would be in spirit, John 4:24. Now, I can assure you that you will receive a very warm welcome. Yes, sir, we love to have visitors. And something else we want to mention. If you would like to have a Bible study, we look forward to those opportunities, and we'll set that up at your convenience. Also, we have Bible correspondence courses available. Of course, they're free. And we're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have. Your comments, positive or negative, are appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana. 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning concerning Barnabas. But one other thing I would mention, this being the holiday season, we hope everyone will stay safe and, you know, you have to watch out for the other fella, all of us. And hopefully the weather will not hinder us from getting about. Now, let's get to our study of Barnabas. And we're going to start off in Acts chapter 4, verse 37, as we read this earlier. But I want to emphasize this. You see, Barnabas was a generous man. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, in the very next chapter, chapter 5, we find quite a contrast to Barnabas. Yes, Ananias and his wife Sapphira, what did they do? Well, they had land like Barnabas and they sold it, but they kept back some of the money gained by selling the land, which was okay. But the problem was they lied to the apostles and said it was all the money. Acts 5, 1 through 11. Well, again, you want to see the contrast between the two. Now, Barnabas must have believed what Jesus said in Matthew 19, 29. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Well, sadly to say, Ananias and Sapphira, they weren't thinking about what God knows, but they were thinking about how they could deceive the brethren. And in doing that, they are actually trying to deceive God. And we know the disciplinary action was severe. Yes, sir. They were both dead and carried out one at a time. So here's a lesson for us today. Do we give cheerfully as we have prospered? Well, notice 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Let me mention this before we go on. Ananias and Sapphira, had they gotten away with lying to the apostles, what would that have done to the early church? So you can see why they were struck dead. Yes, the penalty again was severe. Well, now, as we go on in our study of Barnabas, we're going to Acts chapter 9, Acts 9, 26, 28, and this is, yes, Barnabas was a needed friend to the Apostle Paul, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. Well, of course, Paul had a reputation of being a persecutor of the church, Saul of Tarsus. He was on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians when the Lord met him on that road. And he was sent into Damascus to be told what to do to be saved. And Ananias did just that. So you can understand how brethren are reluctant to be around a man who was persecuting Christians. When you persecute the church, you're persecuting Christians, as the Lord said. It was hard for Paul as he was kicking against the body of Christ. Now, the lesson here for us is, are we a good friend and do we have good friends? You know, if we just had one really good friend, we are very fortunate. Yes, sir. Proverbs 18, notice verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And notice Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So we can be buttered up by those who are not our friends, even our enemies, and be deceived. But a good friend is going to tell us when we're going astray. Isn't that right? Well, of course it is. Now notice verse 17, still in Proverbs 27. Iron sharpeth iron. So a man sharpeth the countenance of his friend. We enhance one another. That's right. Isn't it wonderful to have a really good friend? So let's be a good friend ourselves, as Barnabas certainly was to the Apostle Paul. But let's go on and notice that Barnabas was a great encourager. And this is something I really wanted to emphasize in our study this morning, how we all need encouragement. Preachers, elders, preachers' wives, elders' wives, deacons, deacons' wives, teachers, teachers' wives, every member, every lady in the congregation are good sisters, whether they're married or not. Yes, and we need to encourage our children. Well, of course. Now, notice Acts 11, 22 through 24. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church. Did you know the church had ears? Well, that's not a building, is it? No, sir, that's the members of the body of Christ. And thus, those in the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all. Notice that again. He was glad. Why? And this is what he did. He exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. That's the result of Barnabas, the great encourager. And he saw the grace of God. Yes, how God's grace had resulted in those who responded to God's grace. And that made him glad. And thus he was able to encourage them all and emphasize to each one that had obeyed the gospel, determine in your heart, make that mind up, purpose of heart. Yes, that's being determined to remain faithful unto God and, in other words, cleave unto the Lord. Don't turn loose. That's right. We all need that encouragement. Notice Acts 13:43. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. We all need to do that if we're a member of the body of Christ, the church of Christ. We need to continue in the grace of God. This was at the synagogue at Antioch of Pisidia. Now, again, do we not need encouragers in the Lord's church today to be like Barnabas? Oh, certainly we do. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Are we exhorting one another? Are we provoking unto love and to good works? Well, we need to be, do we not? Well, Let's notice something else about Barnabas. He was a trustworthy man, chosen by the Holy Spirit. Acts 13, verse 2, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost, that is the Holy Spirit, said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And of course, Saul would be known as Paul. So to be selected by God, the Holy Spirit, was a great honor bestowed on both Barnabas and Paul. So let's ask ourselves this question this morning. Are we trustworthy members of the body of Christ? Well, that's something we all need to take self-inventory concerning that very question. Are we trustworthy? Can people count on us? And more important, the Lord knows our hearts. What does He know about Bob Hawkins? And you can ask yourself the same question. 2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things that thou hast learned of me," Paul speaking to the young evangelist through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "yes, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." That of course includes women too, "who shall be able to teach others also." The women can teach other women, they can teach the children. They're just not to teach the men in the classroom in our Bible classes with men present. But certainly they need to be faithful teachers as well. Now, let's notice something else. Again, we're studying Barnabas, the great encourager. He was willing to take a supportive role. Acts 13, 2 through 5, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Now, we read that verse a moment ago. But did you notice Barnabas came first and then Saul? "And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister," John Mark. Now, early in Acts, yes, Barnabas was listed first. But when Saul of Tarsus became known as Paul the Apostle of Jesus Christ, then Barnabas took a supportive role. As we go to verse 7, still in Acts 13, "which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God." So you see again, Barnabas is listed first, but also you see the name Saul, not yet Paul. We drop down to verse 13. "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John," that's John Mark, "departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." And so that wasn't a good situation, but later, John Mark, of course, was a faithful servant of Christ. And of course, he was the inspired writer of the gospel according to Mark. Now, some preachers today have an ego problem. That is, they become jealous of other preachers. Well, of course, that should never happen. But it does, sad to say. And what we're not understanding, you know, if we're involved in this, is that we're hurting the cause of Christ. Put aside that ego, all of us who are gospel preachers. If we're not called on to lead a prayer as we are visiting a congregation, so what? Be thankful that there are faithful brethren there to lead the prayer. It's not, and then jealous over who's preaching and who's not or what, things like that is just uncalled for in the body of Christ. The cause of Christ should always come first. And we need to be humble and take a supportive role when necessary. Of course. Now, something else about Barnabas. He stood against Paul. This is Acts 15:36-41. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work, as we talked about earlier. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Sicily, confirming the churches. Now, it took courage for Barnabas to oppose Paul, but it paid off great dividends by giving John Mark another opportunity. You see, there's now two missionary journeys instead of one. Is that not the providence of God also working in their disagreement? Well, of course, Paul had positive things to say later about John Mark. And so it all turned out for the cause of Christ, to his glory. Now, let's always stand for our godly principles. Certainly we need to do that. But one other lesson, and I am reluctant, but I must give this account, because Barnabas was carried away with the dissimulation of those in the wrong. Now, we will understand the great characteristics of Barnabas, but here he was wrong and needed to be corrected. Galatians 2:11-13. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. Peter also needed to be corrected, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Well, let's take heed from this situation. Learn from it. Even though we're doing well in the work of the church, we're encouraging others, we're humbling ourselves and taking a supportive role when needed, and all these characteristics, being a good friend and a generous person, all these things. But if we get carried away with the dissimulation of those in the wrong, we need to make the correction. Repent and confess our sin before God, and he is faithful and just to forgive us. But if we become prideful, then what? All the good qualities, what does that matter if we fail in the end to remain faithful unto God and get carried away with those in the wrong? So again, let's take heed from this situation. And certainly Barnabas would have done that. You know, As we study Barnabas, he did make a difference. Yes, he made a difference in the world. And we can too. We can study the qualities here and again take the warning at the end, yes, and not get carried away when others may be in numbers. But if they're not right, stay with the truth. That's right. And Barnabas, again, we see was with great and more, you know, with great moral and spiritual strength. We can learn from that and emulate that. So let's take heed to our study of Barnabas. And certainly we need great encouragers in the Lord's church. Let's be one ourselves and appreciate when we're encouraged by others and praise God for it. This morning we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel of Christ. What do you have to do according to the scriptures? Well, first of all, we have to hear what the scriptures say. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Now, once we've heard the truth, certainly we need to be convinced that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. We must believe that. Except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins, John 8:24. Now that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Lord and Savior, the Lamb of God dying for our sins, we should be motivated to repent, to get out of a sinful life and go in the right direction as God would have us to be, making that change of mind, changing our will to do the will of God, Luke 13:3-5. Once we've repented, changed our way of thinking, now we're ready to make the good confession, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. Yes, we need to do this unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. Then we're ready to be immersed, buried in a watery grave. The term is baptism. Baptizo means immersion, to be completely under, and thus representing the old sinful man being buried. The contacting of the blood of Christ in that watery grave, thus we come up out of the water, rising up in newness of life. Our sins are washed away by the blood of Christ. And then we're added to the church that Jesus built, his body, the true church, the church of Christ, Acts 2:47, Romans 16:16. We need to appreciate being in the body of Christ and grow and become with the Christian graces as we add them to our faith. And remember, the second law of pardon applies if we've fallen away. We need to repent and pray to God for forgiveness, confessing our sins. Yes, publicly if necessary, or privately. And we thank you so much for listening today.